Good morning. Good morning, Impact. Oh, come on. Let me hear a little bit more than that. Good morning, Impact. Welcome to Legacy Living. Praise God. Part three. We're going to go ahead and dig a little bit deeper. But before we do, I got a few things just want to be able to share with you. Matter of fact, let me see this. Haven't done this in a while. Oh, they beat me to it. Let there be light. And light be. You know, that's just how things work, though. So you set your faith towards it. Even before you get it out your mouth. Pow. Here we go. Explosion in power. Listen, on Sunday, December the 4th, do not forget, it is Legacy Sunday. This is our time and opportunity where we really kind of come together and we present unto God a Christmas gift to say, you know what, God, I know it's only by the grace of God that I go. It's only by your love, only by your kindness, only by your goodness. And we take that Sunday just to bring something extra, something special. So pray about it, what the Spirit of God would have you to do. Be ready for that coming very, very soon. And then also, want to say thank you. We had a group, it was 10 of us that went out to Fort Myers this past Wednesday. That area has been hit hard, you know, by Hurricane Ian. And these are our neighbors. And just a whole lot that's going on. You'll see a few pictures, you know, that we have, you know, that come up on the screen. We were helping, you know, one particular family. Quite frankly, they're rebuilding their house. Structurally, everything is there, but because of the flooding that they experienced, they had almost about 5 feet of water in their house on the first, you know, level. So everything has to be just gutted completely out, really, on that first level. So we were there, group of us, on this past Wednesday, you know, doing what we do. Impact is who we are. Impact is what we do, praise God. You know, the Word of God teaches us that when one particular lawyer approached Jesus and says, look, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus said, well, it's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. He says, and the second is like unto it, that you love your neighbor as yourself. Now think about it this way. If your house would have been ravaged by a hurricane, how would you love yourself? It'd be the number one thing on your agenda to get your house back in order. But what God says to us is now you love others that way. Someone else lost their house, but you should have the same energy, the same intensity, the same passion to help them get their house back together. So that's why we want, and that's why we're going back. Yes. Thank you so much for those that's been giving towards that. But I want to encourage you to continue to do so because it's going to be a long time. It's really going to be a long time before these families can be made whole again. But we want to make sure that they know in the midst of all of it, God has not forgotten them. God loves them. And God still has a good, good plan and purpose for their life. So we'll be heading back on Saturday this time, December the 3rd. So I want to encourage you, set the time aside, spend the day. As we headed out, we left like about 5:30 in the morning on Wednesday. And we got back maybe about 6 o'clock, you know, that night. And let me tell you something, we were working. And I want to say, again, I want to applaud those that went out because these are not people that was just working. These are difference makers. Yes. I'm telling you, you know, we show up in the house and, okay, I'll talk a little bit. We show up in the house in this one particular area that we were in. Well, most of the people that we were seeing, you know, were white. So when we show up, it's kind of like, oh, okay. Wasn't kind of expecting us. Maybe a couple of hours go into it, it's just like, oh my goodness, you guys are amazing. As the day goes on, like, are y'all going to come back tomorrow? It's like, we won't be back tomorrow, but we will be back. Yeah. Because they weren't completely sure, you know, what to expect. Now, we don't care what color people are. When people are dealing, praise God, with issues, we don't care what color they are, white, black, you know, Hispanic, it doesn't matter. We are here to show the love of God. So definitely want to encourage you on December the 3rd. We'll have it set up where you can register for that, you know, online. Come out, spend the day. Let's go be a blessing again. Yeah. Hey, before we go on any further, too, before I forget, would you all help? Just put your hands together. We got some supernatural, very special guests in the house today. Matter of fact, I don't think, is this your first Sunday back This is y'all first Sunday. Yes, yeah. Come on, is it pastor or minister? Which one is it? Elder, excuse me now. That's elder. Elder. Elder Hayes, praise God, Darnell Hayes. Amen. No, still doing ministry there in the outside the Atlanta area. Yeah. So they were with us years ago. Now, man, it's been a long time. And so he and his, beautiful, young lady, bride, Melissa Hayes, and then they have their daughter Zion here. They got 15 kids. So, they only brought one with them. No, they don't have that many. But no, welcome back. So glad to see y'all in the house. Come on, put your hands together for them one more time. Hayes family. Yeah. Good to see you. Glory. All right. And one last thing. Next week, of course, is Festival of Nations. And then on that Monday, we're still going to be doing our trunk or treat as well. So at our administrative offices, so I want to encourage you to come out, for that. Be a part of it. You can donate candy, do all those wonderful things. All right, let's get into some word here. Father, we bless you. Honor your magnificent name. Thank you for giving us the privilege and opportunity to represent you. Thank you, Lord God, for freedom of utterance now in the Holy Spirit, words that are alive, explosive, dynamic, undeniable, that comes directly from you. That my speech, preaching, and teaching would not be with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of your Spirit and power. We give you all honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, let's get back to it, praise God. Legacy living. We're talking about leaving a legacy, a good legacy. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. This is our core text. It says, good people leave an inheritance to their grandchildren, but the sinner's wealth passes to the godly. Well, praise God, for the wealth transfer, and we receive it. Come on, someone say, I receive that. But the part we're focusing in on is the first part of this verse, that good people leave an inheritance, watch this, to their children's children. And I would even add this. I'm going to add something to the passage, something to the scripture. Good people, watch this, we leave an inheritance to our children's children, but we also know how to take care of the generation above us that took care of us. Absolutely, praise God. See, our goal should be to impact greatly and mightily for the kingdom of God at least four generations. The one above us, our own, our children, and our grandchildren. Listen, if all of us live that way in the kingdom, then now the kingdom of God explodes exponentially across the planet. There's nothing that can compare to it. And it's already the most impactful thing in the planet ever, already. But there's so much more that has to still be done. Good people, this is what good people do. So now we just have to ask our questions, are we good people? Well, yes, I think I'm nice. I do nice things. Okay, but wait a minute. This definition is saying a good person leaves an inheritance. So if you're good, you're thinking about future generations. You're thinking about others other than yourself. That is good people, what good people do. Remember last week we looked at the fact that God wants us to bear much fruit, enjoy an abundant harvest, and feed on good pasture. But every time we bear fruit, there's a portion in it that's not for now, but for the future. Come on, again, some of y'all remember that candy, now laters. Huh? See, on the package it says, have some for now, or was it enjoy? Either way, have some for now and save some for later. Now, as kids, we just called them now laters. We just blended the whole thing all together. But God says, that's how I want you to operate in the kingdom. Yeah, you can enjoy some for now, but you make sure you got something for later. For your children and your grandchildren. I remember talking to this one particular gentleman, multimillionaire. And he's like, my goal is to affect 13 generations in my family. I mean, I'm just going to tell you, it blew my mind because I just never thought that way. He's like, I want to affect 13 generations. I want to make sure that way down the line, they can look back to me and say, thank you, Lord, for my great, 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 great grandfather. But that requires us thinking outwardly and not inwardly. On today, we're going to focus on this element here of reigning in life. Someone say it with me, I'm called to reign. Come on, say it like you mean to say, I'm called to reign.
Romans chapter 5, verse 17 says this. For if because of one man's trespass, lapse, offense, death reigned through that one. It's talking about Adam, the first Adam. Much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing with himself. This is what happens with those kind of people. You reign as kings or queens in life through the one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. Because of what God has done for you and I, because of the sacrificial, you know, gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, God has set us up where we reign. And here's the element I absolutely love about this, that God now has given us this free gift of his grace. He has given us this unmerited favor. He's put us in right standing with him. And that's why I always want to encourage you. You're not a sinner when you're in Christ. There are no sinners in Christ. That gets washed away. See, that sinner identification is just a part of humanity's still struggle to be religious. It's like, but we got to do something because I'm not perfect. Listen, you are just as perfect as God needs you to be. That blood that's been shed for you, praise God, makes all the difference. Yes, it's not you, it's him. And that's what you have to make sure you continue to hold on to and embrace. You've been called to reign. Say it with me, I reign. I'm royalty. Absolutely, praise God. I love the fact here that scripture doesn't say that we just barely get by. Come on, that you're just supposed to, you know, have a vow of poverty. You know, back in the Middle Ages, some would call it medieval times, you had different orders like the Franciscan, you know, order. St. Francis of Assisi was the founder of this. And one of their mantras was a vow of poverty. That if you are going to follow Christ, you have to forsake all. It's just like, that's interesting, because Jesus says, I came so that you could have life and have it more abundantly. I came so that you could reign. So apparently Jesus is not really shook up about you or me having stuff. He just never wants the stuff to have us. But a lot of individuals still kind of will have that kind of mindset. And you'll see it, you know, in various forms today. Individuals will kind of, you know, look down at and criticize. Well, look at this preacher or whatever the case, you know, with all this money, you know, that's, they should give that to the poor. But the same individuals that are saying it, you know, are worth, you know, 10 figures. Just like, wait a minute. So it's okay for you to watch this, to live abundantly. But to serve God, you're supposed to be a pauper? No, that's not what the kingdom says. That's not what God says. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 and 2. I won't go into all of Deuteronomy, but the first part lays out, you know, the core. The Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the world. He's talking to Israel. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. And watch this. Those same blessings abide for you and me today. Come on now, you begin to read, you know, the first part of Deuteronomy chapter 28, you know, through verse 14. You see now that you're blessed, watch this, in your city. Come on, you're blessed in your neighborhood. You're blessed in your community. You're blessed when you go to work. You're blessed when you come home. You're blessed when you're traveling. You're blessed in your business. You're blessed in your investments. You're blessed in your health. You're blessed in your body. You're blessed with your children, praise God. And then I love the fact that it says, watch this, that those that will come up against you one way, dear God, they're going to have to flee from you seven ways. That's a blessing. It's an empowerment that's there. Why? Because you've been called to reign. Say it with me. I'm here to reign. But now we don't reign just for ourselves. Oh. Let's go into it a little bit further. Legacy, again, is when we are intentional to leave for others. Leave something for others. And remember, we talked about with the core objective, you know, for this particular series, is that it's to leave a legacy, an inheritance for our family. It's to leave an inheritance for the next generation of believers. And it's to leave an inheritance that is a witness for those who do not yet believe in God through Christ. So that they can see, man, you really do serve someone that's good. How do I get connected with that? Yeah. The thing, though, that we have to embrace is that a single life is too short to accomplish everything that God has desired for you. Your lifespan and mine is not long enough to accomplish everything that God wants to accomplish through you. It's still, he wants to still do it through you. This is why, watch this. This is why you go back to the Old Testament, why hundreds of years would have passed, and you'll see them talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You would almost say, no, this is my God now. But they understood that, man, because of what our great, 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 great grandfathers, grandmothers did, come on, we have this inheritance today. It's a legacy living mindset. And we have to, you know, embrace this element that, you know what, a single lifespan is just too short for all that God wants to do through us. God not only wants us to reign, God wants us to establish a dynasty. Come on now, come on. I like it, the Bostic dynasty. Come on, come on, a dynasty, praise God. That's what God is calling. 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 7 through 10. Says, David said to Solomon, my son, I had it in my heart to build a house for the name of the Lord my God. But this word of the Lord came to me. You have shed much blood and have fought many wars. You are not to build a house for my name. Because you have shed much blood on the earth in my sight. But you will have a son who will be a man of peace and rest. And I will give him rest from all his enemies on every side. His name will be Solomon, and I will grant Israel peace and quiet during his reign. He is the one who will build a house for my name. He will be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Praise God. Yeah. Now watch this. Here's the thing that jumps out at me on this. This shows that there are some dreams in our hearts that may not be fulfilled until future generations. David's like, I had this. This is what was in my heart to be able to do for God. I wanted to build God a temple. And then the word of the Lord came to me and says, you're not going to do it. Your son's going to do it. Now, David has an opportunity now to respond really one of two different ways. He could respond like some kings responded in various times in a sense of jealousy and animosity, where individuals would kill their children so that they could extend their reign. David doesn't do that. David doesn't respond in jealousy and animosity and like, you know, why can't I do it, God? David says, okay, God, if that's your heart, then here's my response. It's a generosity response. David says, well, then I will make sure my son has what he needs to get started. Oh, come on now. Come on now. Look here in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 5. Says David said, my son Solomon is still young and inexperienced, and since the temple to be built for the Lord must be a magnificent structure, famous and glorious throughout the world, I will begin making preparations for it now. So David collected vast amounts of building materials before his death. So here it is. David says, I'm not going to be able to physically experience it, but that doesn't stop me from now sowing into it. In helping now my son have a head start to fulfill what God has called us to do. It's a family vision. It's a family anointing. So we got to make sure that every generation coming behind us is ready to be able to flow in that vision. David says, I'm going to make sure we're setting things aside. I can spend it on myself. I can enjoy it myself. I'm not going to do that. We're going to get this thing ready so that when Solomon comes of age, when now he realizes the gift of God on his life, he'll have no excuse than to start operating on the vision of building the temple. And of course, we know Solomon goes ahead and does just that. David responds to God's word with a sense of generosity. So here's a question for you. What if every parent began making plans now for their children to be in position to fulfill God's plan and dream that he has given to you. What if you start making plans now? There's a mindset when it comes to, you know, our children that, hey, you know, let's get them going. We get them off, you know, 18 or, you know, 20 or whatever. We, you know, come on out the house. You know, we kind of help them get started and just like, okay, now go fly on your own. And yeah, that's certainly, you know, a part of the plan. But because we're working on God's vision, which is a lifetime activity, there are things even now that we're continuing to do or that we should be doing. Watch this. Even though now that our kids are grown, many of us can reflect upon now that even though you are, say, 24 and technically you're grown, in many ways you know you're not, because in many cases you're broke. Okay, all right, I come on this side of the table. There's still some tightness that's there. So watch this. Good parents say, you know what, now let us make preparations for our grandchildren. Because we already understand our children getting started and they broke. Now, they don't have to be broke. That's a whole other issue that you can address. But even if you set up things for them, there's still this mindset of, let me set things up now for their children. Let me set up now a 529, you know, plan for them. Where now they can use that, you know, when it comes to sending their kids to college. Or watch this, you can use that, you know, towards private school education today. You know, in terms of high school, you know, middle school, you know, elementary as well. So you give your children the option, watch this, to be able to send their children into an environment where now still the Spirit of God can be nurtured in them. Decision that my wife Ron and I made years, years ago before we got married, is that we will trust God and do whatever it takes, you know, outside of anything illegal, let the church say amen, amen, to make sure that we kept all four of our children in a private Christian school for their entire education. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to reveal all the math, but I've calculated the math over the years. And I'm just like, you know what we could have gone out and done? But it was important to us, because our heart, you know, as pastors has been, listen, we don't ever want to just put our kids in an environment that's going to be intentionally trying to work out the faith that we've placed in them. It's like, we're just not going to do it. For us, it's worth the investment. See, when we talk about legacy living, the first legacy is faith in God. Come on, we don't want to leave our children a whole bunch of money, but they get grown and they're atheists. Oh, yeah, they got a lot of money. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, yeah, my granddad was a preacher, but I don't believe in God. We missed it. It's a legacy of faith, first and foremost, praise God. What if every parent, we began to make plans now? It would cause us to have to maybe make some adjustments in our lives. We'd really have to pray and slow down and get the answer about what is the direction for our kids' life. You know, God is obligated to get that to you. Rather than just simply going along with what appeases them and what makes them happy. See, because there's so much in our culture today that appeases and that can make you happy, but it's not from God. And it's just driving them in a particular direction that keeps pulling them away from God. There is a very, very real need for us to make sure that in this generation and the ones that are coming after that we still help to instill a sense of a work ethic, a strong work ethic. Strong work ethic. Amen. Strong work ethic. Amen. Strong work ethic. we're living in a situation, watch this, where the entitlement mentality has just shot to the roof. And the individual's just like, why can't I get it? Because you ain't done nothing for it. That's why you don't get it. Little lazy thing. Remember I told you some years ago, I was getting ready to hire this guy to do my lawn, you know, landscape guy. You know, he's like, yeah, you know, I'll come, you know, a couple of times, you know, a month, you know, so on and so forth, be this price, so forth. Good guy, too. And I was getting ready to do it, and I'm minding my own business, really, and the Spirit of God began to do me. He says, you know, you already got a lawn team. I said, huh? And then I think one of my sons walked through the room at that same time. I said, oh, yeah. I said, absolutely. Yeah, we could pay somebody to do the lawn. We're trying to instill a sense of work ethic in them. It's not, oh, y'all get out there, mow that lawn. Nope, didn't do it right, do it again. Why? It's teaching a lesson. It's leaving a legacy, what God has called all of us to do. It would change us if we had to make now decisions to help steer them toward their destiny instead of destruction. This thing would change us if we had to now sacrifice some of our enjoyment today to give them a head start toward their destiny. Are you willing to sacrifice some of your enjoyment? Can you say no to what you want to then put them in a position, watch this, where it's so easy for them to follow God's plan for their life? And that's the goal here, ladies and gentlemen. It's a legacy of faith where we're helping now our children and our grandchildren easy to follow, watch this, in the family business. And our family business is trusting God. That's our family business. Now listen, watch this. As the CEO, nobody else is going to pick it up if you don't pick it up first. So you got to trust God first. Come on, your family needs to see you going through the process of trusting God, maybe through some hard things and some difficult times. They need to see it. So they understand, okay, these are the things that I need to do as well. Well, you may be saying, well, I don't have any kids, so, you know, who am I leaving legacy for? Well, listen, again, we're talking about leaving an inheritance for our family, and family is not only our kids, but we're also talking about leaving inheritance for the next generation of believers. Come on, so watch this. You can adopt a family. You can spiritually adopt some kids, be like, you know what, I'm going to make sure that these kids right here, I'm going to put something aside, you know, for them. Helping them to grow in their faith with God and have all the resources they need to fulfill God's vision. Psalm 112, this is what you should receive. It says, praise the Lord, how happy is the man or woman who honors the Lord with fear and finds joy in his law, in his word. His children will be powerful in the land. Come on now, that's what we want to see for all of our children. Come on, I know I want to see that for my four children. I want to see them be powerful in the land. I want to see them be much more powerful in the land than ever I even dreamed of being. That's what I want to see. But how does that happen? Because of what mom and dad do. How mom and dad helped to set them up. So each family who is right will be happy. Riches and well-being are in his house, and his right standing with God will last forever. Oh, praise God. Keep this in mind. Godly living and honoring God and generosity give our children and our grandchildren a head start. Godly living, honoring God, and generosity gives our children and our grandchildren a head start. Everybody likes a head start. Come on, do I have any Family Feud fans in here? Got a couple folks, they like Family Feud. You know, come on, I go way back with Richard Dawson. Y'all don't know nothing about Richard. It's like, Richard who? All y'all know about is Steve Harvey. You gonna be on YouTube. That's the kind of stuff Steve said when people give a silly answer. So that's gonna be on YouTube there. Well, of course, you know, you have the two families that go against each other. And then one of the families, you know, finally wins that. And then they go to the fast money, baby. Fast money. So now we need two representatives from the family. So one is going to go, you know, first, and the other is backstage now, can't hear, you know, the questions and responses, and they're going to come, you know, out second. And I can remember times, you know, watching it, and the person, you know, that goes first just gives some horrible answers. So, you know, the whole goal is to get 200 points collectively, and the first person give their answers, and then when they're done, you know, they go through the whole thing, and they got like 25 points. So the other person comes out, and Steve's like, well, I'm telling you, I just got, you know, good news for you. Good news is there's a whole lot of number one answers still on the board. Bad news is you got 175 that you need. But see, that's not how we should set our children up. Come on, we need to take all the number one answers off the board. Come on, and the number one answer is faith in God. Come on, you and I should be the ones that lead off on the fast money, and now you get 170. And now all of a sudden, you know, the person that comes behind you, all they got to do is get, say, 30. But there's been some cases, watch this, where the person that's gone first has gotten all 200 points. And all the other one had to do was just come from backstage and enjoy the party. This is what God is calling us unto, to leave a legacy for him. And when you think of it this way, you have to consider the fact that we are products of legacy. Maybe it's not a legacy of, you know, great monetary wealth that you inherited. Maybe, you know, you're like me. I inherited a great work ethic. I inherited a faith in God. It's completely changed my entire life. So we've all now are really products of legacy. And therefore, it's just good that we thank God for those that's gone before us. Come on, everyone just lift up two hands for me. Father, we just want to say thank you right now for those in our families and our communities that just sowed and poured into our lives, that prayed for us, praise God, years ago. Even before we came into the earth, they were praying for us, and they're declaring your word over our lives. Thank you so much, Father, for giving us those that have this passion for you and that have passed it on now, where we've been able to grab hold and take the mantle, the baton, and run with it now in our leg. We are so grateful. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Legacy, again, is not only this thing that's really just blood relatives. For some of us, it may not have been people that were related to us that impacted us so. Maybe the individual that really taught you how to be a man, it wasn't your father. It wasn't someone in your family. Or that person who really kind of gave you the wisdom and the direction about how to really be a woman. It wasn't your father. It wasn't your mother. It wasn't someone in the family. But still, there's a legacy that you are the beneficiary of. Regardless of what circumstance that any of us have been born into, we should be very thankful. And you could say, man, you know, if I'd had this when I was born, if I had this when I was young, if, you know, so forth, you know, I'd be so much further ahead. I get that. But thank God for where you are right now. And watch this. And it ain't over. You got a whole lot more of growing. Come on, a whole lot more reigning to do. But let us be thankful. Sometimes we tend to look back and sometimes look back, you know, like, you know, our ancestors didn't know what they were doing. You know, like, oh, how could they do that? We make stupid statements like, I would never do that. If I was there, I would never do that. So you don't understand the circumstances and the culture and everything that was pressing them into a certain way. You don't understand all that. And we have ancestors now who stood against injustice, murdered, and the like, so that you and I could be able to have this freedom to have faith in God today. That's legacy. That's leaving a legacy. Many sacrificed their lives. And you and I, if for no other reason today, we should be thankful for those that have gone before us. Paul addresses this when he's talking to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 7 is really where it comes together. And he says this, "For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not?" He says, what do you have that you didn't receive? Watch this. What do you have that wasn't passed on to you? He says, and if what you have you didn't receive, why are you boasting like you did it yourself? All of us are standing on the shoulders of those that have gone before us. And we should always be thankful and grateful for the sacrifices that they've made on our behalf. There are a lot of things that they, you know, our family members could have done. And okay, yeah, maybe they didn't make all the best decisions, but watch this, neither of you. But they set us up where now we could be here, watch this, on a Sunday morning in a movie theater and just magnify and worship God and thank him for his goodness. Come on, I wish I had somebody who was really thankful in here, praise God, that would just take a moment to say, God, you are great unto me. I thank you so much for those that you have paved a way in my life, Lord God. Thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness, sir. Absolutely, praise God. Always remember that where legacy is concerned and the fruit that we generate, some is for now, other is for later. Watch this. Some is for eating, some is for sowing. David's response to God saying, you're not going to do what's in your heart to do for me. It's a good idea, David. You're right in line with me, but you're not going to be the one to do it. David doesn't get sorrow in that. David responds in generosity. We want to make sure that we are doing all we can to pay things forward. We can't go back. We can't go back. I wish we could. Come on, I wish we could. I wish we could go back and be able to just sow something into the lives of our ancestors, watch this, that are locked up in slavery, that are being abused 24/7. The best thing we can do for them now is to leave a legacy of faith now for the next generation and the ones behind us. We can't pay it backwards, but we can pay it forward. Pay it forward. Leave a legacy. Be intentional. I challenge you. Take an assessment of your financial, you know, state today. Look at it and say, okay, what things maybe can I do without right now to be able to make sure that my children and my children's children get even further ahead? What can I put aside? What adjustments can I make? There's some opportunities for all of us to be generous. There's a number of things that we can go down, but I want to give you a few just to think about, because this is all a part of us leaving a legacy. You know, number one, what I even mentioned about October 31st, come on, we got our trunk or treat, you know, coming up. Hey, you just may want to just come out, just donate some candy, do something just to bless some kids, you know, in the community and the like. Our legacy gift that we talked about on December the 4th. We have a Thanksgiving Adopt-A-Family. This is the first year doing this again in a number of years. Come on, we're going to adopt some families here locally and some in Fort Myers as well, Fort Myers area. Helping them to have a strong and healthy Thanksgiving. You know, the whole hurricane, you know, Ian storm relief. You know, our new building, you know, praise God, things, property that we're working on, all those things. There's opportunities to always be generous. It's having the mindset to leave a legacy. And I want to challenge us all with the same challenge that the one gentleman, you know, presented to me about impacting 13 generations in our family. Most individuals won't look that far. Should the Lord Jesus Christ tarry, and I'm a firm belief that there won't be 13 more generations. But just in case I'm wrong, let's take the time to prepare to make sure that our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren, our great-great-grandchildren, our great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren are all walking in the blessing of God. Why? Because somebody in the family knew how to reign. Father, we give you thanks. We bless your wonderful name. Help us, Father, to continue to adjust and shift to your way of thinking, to not get so consumed in ourselves and maybe what we want right now, but to listen to you about your timing for things and to make sure that we are setting things up intentionally, Father, for future generations, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and beyond. Father, we trust you for the resources. We thank you already for the blessing, the empowerment, praise God. Yeah, your blessing that's upon us that makes us rich, you add no sorrow with it. We thank you for that, Daddy, that we have more than enough to bring to pass the vision that you have given unto us. So we love you with all of our heart in the wonderful name of Jesus. If you agree, would you shout hallelujah? Come on, if you agree, shout glory to God. Hallelujah, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Please, every head bowed with me just for a moment. Every eye closed in prayer. The first legacy that is most important, again, it's not a monetary one. It's a legacy of faith. And that starts in this place of relationship with Almighty God. Making a decision that, you know what? Jesus Christ is my Lord. Listen, if you've never done that before, whether you're present here in the auditorium, if you're online, I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. I want to introduce you to my good, good Father. And that's who he is. He's a good daddy that loves you and wants absolutely nothing but the best for you. But here's the thing about it. He's a perfect gentleman, so he'll never force himself upon you. So you have to be the one who responds with a sense of surrender and say, yes, I welcome you, sir. But as you do so, you now come in union with the greatest relationship in your life. That's where legacy starts. And that is the first legacy that God is calling for all of us to leave to our children, our grandchildren, and generations to come. So if that's you, whether you're present or whether you're online and you desire my prayers or you want to get connected, I want to pray for you and with you. Here's what I want to do, though. I just want to ask everyone, lift up holy hands unto God. Lift up both hands like you're under arrest, even at home. Praise God. Say this out loud with me. Dear Father, come on, say it strong. Dear Father God, thank you again for loving me so and giving to me your absolute best, your son Jesus, who lived for me, who died for me, and who rose for me. Today, Jesus, I embrace you as my master, my savior, my Lord, my king, my everything. I turn my back on sin and I purpose to live for you. Legacy living is how I think. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody give God glory right there. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, now if you're going to do something, come on now, don't do it half-heartedly. Come on, somebody give God glory, honor, and praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah.